it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 27th of August 2016. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues. The show's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday, the 27th of August, Brent Simpson spoke to Denise Whitford, organiser of the Waiheke Walking Festival. And he talked with Raul Sirot and Darlene Tanahoff-Nielsen, who have been reviewing the Essentially Waiheke document. And then he featured a song from a new Waiheke musical act, Leatherhead.
So, first guest this morning is Denise Whitfield, and she is the organiser for our wonderful Waiheke Island Walking Festival. And the festival takes place in November, but the schedule, the programme for the walks has been released already, although tickets are not on sale. So we're going to talk to Denise. Denise, welcome to the show, to Island Life, and we've had you on before about the Waiheke Island Walking Festival because it's one of those, it's a fantastic idea. Have you ever heard of anything like this before and seen the other places do this, or are we kind of unusual or unique like this, or how did that sort of start? That's what I guess I was sort of getting at, is who came up with this?
Yeah, so there's plenty of walking festivals around the world.
Yeah.
It's not unique to Waiheke. But we're pretty chuffed because we are free. All the walks are completely free.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got 50 walks this year. So we like to say that we're the largest walking festival in the Southern Hemisphere. And I'm pretty sure that that's true.
Yeah.
So there's definitely pockets of it. But we're the big festival in New Zealand, and especially.
Yep.
Started in 2010. Gary Wilton from Auckland Council, who's just finished up as our parks advisor.
Right.
This is his baby.
Right.
Yep. So he had a little bit of money in his marketing budget and decided that he was going to create a walking festival to get locals out using the walkways and to get tourists over to Waiheke who could truly appreciate the natural beauty of Waiheke. So getting them off the buses, getting them out of the vineyards for a time to really see all that Waiheke has to offer.
So has the development of the festival itself also resulted in improvement on these tracks? And are there new tracks and walks that have been added since the festival has emerged? Are those things kind of a synergy?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, we launched Te Arahura, which is the, you will see those little red signs around the place. It's 100 kilometres looping all of Waiheke. So that came about in parallel with the Walking Festival, again, another one of Gary Wilton's babies. Last year, we actually ran a five-day walk doing that whole 100Ks.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time. This year, we're doing it again, but we're doing it over 4 days. The Waiheke Walking Festival is an opportunity to throw some light on the walkways on Waiheke and get a little bit of extra funding to make them that work a little bit better, you know, get the promotion out there. What's very unique about the Walking Festival is every year the program looks different, and one of the attractions of it is the private land walks. So although they're not open all year round, landowners are very generous and give us access to those, to their land, during the festival each year.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. So you've got a new program out for this year's walks that is, presumably you can tell us where people could access this the program. And what kinds of new things have you got this year for us that you didn't have in previous years on the program? Anything particularly, you know, that you...
Yeah, every year we've got new and exciting walks. Walks that I'm really, really excited about this year. We've got a night sky walk. So we've got a night walk. We've got experts coming over from Auckland with their big telescopes and binoculars. And going to go for a wander and then finish off looking through the telescopes at the stars, which will be really nice.
Nice.
We're really privileged to have Ngāti Paua, our local mana whenua, involved in the festival this year. So we've got two walks that are going to be guided by one of the members, which will be a real treat. It's something that's been missing from the festival in the past.
Right.
So I'm really pleased that we've got that this year. We're back out at Man o' War.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a very special walk on Man o' War land out to Thumb Point and back. Have a picnic down there and a swim, and it's going to be nice weather, of course.
Yeah,
so plenty of private land walks that we haven't done before, so they'll be a treat.
And how many people do you expect to come through the festival in an average year?
So we have about I'm expecting about 2,500 registrations over the 9 days, bearing in mind that lots of people do more than one walk. So usually it's about, I'm hoping for 1,200 to 1,500 people.
And sort of a mixture of locals and people coming in off the island.
Yep. We to make it attractive to sponsors and to funders, which, you know, because it's a free event, that's how we pay to run the festival. We're trying to get more off-islanders.
Yep.
Get that split a little more even. So at the moment it sits at around 60% local, 40% off island.
Yep.
And I'd like to see that shift a little bit more this year. I'm hoping it will.
Yeah. I've just forgotten my question actually. I was going to ask where the people are, you know, are interested in getting a little bit of an insight already into what the walks are and any new walks. Where can they go to get? What's the best place to go to get information about the festival at this point?
So the program is live on our website at the moment. Website being www.waihikiwalkingfestival.org.
Mm-hmm.
So there's information there. You can see what's on offer. The brochure is being printed this week.
Yep.
So as soon as that's available, we'll get that out there. You can always go to the library.
Yep.
It'll be on Fuller's Boats, Sea Link Boats, down at Matiatia. And then if any businesses want to stock the brochure, I'll just drop those off to them as well.
Yep. So any the walk around the island, and I'm just curious about the four-day walk. What do you do? When you get to your sort of, you know, one quarter destination, do people stay somewhere or how does that work? Do they?
We haven't.
The camp?
No. So we're just bussing in and bussing out this year.
Yep.
I think long term, I'd love to see an opportunity where people can walk and stay.
Yeah.
But we haven't. We don't have the accommodation available at the moment, particularly down the bottom end.
I am.
But that will come.
So how long is that walk? All in total, how long is that?
So it's 100 kilometres.
Wow.
So it will be 25 kilometres per day.
Yep.
So long days, big days. But each day we'll finish somewhere nice for something to eat and a nice glass of wine.
And there's quite a variety of different sort of types of walks. You mentioned the walk, looking at the stars and things like that. And I know in the past you've had a walk with dogs and things like that. What kinds of diverse ranges of walks do you have for us this year?
Yep. Again, stars. Diverse range of walks. So we've got a few conservation walks. Mm-hmm. We've got a dawn chorus and a twilight chorus walk this year. We've got a walk sort of Pokemon Go style.
No, are you serious? Don't say that. What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
So geocaching where you've got spots around that you need to find and you'll learn some information about those. Yep. So we've got Jan from Snapper Graphics. Yep. He's leading a walk with your devices so that you can, so it's, we've got lots of lovely interpretive signage down at Matiatia now that's all been developed and funded by council. But lots of people don't know how to use their devices so that they can hear those stories,
right,
read those stories.
Yep.
So this walk will be just introducing people to how to use your phones and your tablets so that you can get more out of the places you visit, because that's what's happening now. Physical signs are expensive. They get damaged. So a lot of people are going to online stories and messages about an area. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. So that'll be a cool one. We've got
kids and old people. I suppose that might be two that, you know.
Yep. Definitely. We've got kids walks again this year. So we've got a glowworms walk, which is always popular.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So that's going to be on private land. And we've got a great walk up to the top of Maunganui with the kids.
Oh, so
that'll be a great day out.
Yep.
We've got Kirsten Simmons, who she's setting up her happy place.
Oh yeah,
with lots of great stuff for the kids.
Yeah.
So that will be a fun a fun walk as well. Yep. Yeah. Always dogs. Yeah. Dogs, of course. We've got a cycling event this year.
Oh, yeah.
A mountain bike event.
Oh, at the sports park or somewhere?
Sports park through into Whakanefa Regional Park, which now have bike trails.
Some biking trails.
Mm.
Oh, that's great, yeah, because it seems to be an emerging kind of club on the island.
Mm.
A lot of desire for more mountain biking tracks. That sounds great. So let's just recap, I suppose, some of the dates for this, and if people are kind of keen to get, you know, because you do have to book, don't you? I mean, they fill up.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's only certain places. So the program's coming out in a couple of weeks, but you can't book just then, can you? But
no.
You mentioned something earlier about friends of the festival.
Yep. So the program's live on the website now. The dates are 19th to the 27th of November. Bookings will open on the 1st of October. Booking, for health and safety reasons, we have to cap numbers. We would love you to become a friend of the festival, which you can do today. And for $50, that will guarantee you five early bird registrations on any walks that you would like to do, as well as a ticket to our finale barbecue, which will be held down at Rorohara, Bruce Blessed's property down at Pymallon Bay.
Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be a lovely day. So we'd love you to support the festival if you can by becoming a friend. And this is our way of saying thank you. You get to book early so you know that you've got guaranteed places on those walks, because some of them, they book out on the day that they open.
Right. Well, that's great. Thanks, Denise, for coming in once again. And like I said, we'll mention the website again. It's www.waihekiwalkingfestival.org. Org, not .nz.
No,
just .org.
.org.
And that's probably your best place at this point if you're keen to get a heads up on what's happening with the festival. And the programs will be coming out in a week or so.
Great.
And they will be available at the library and other places around. Yes, and I'd highly encourage you to get out and if you've never done any other walking festival. Some really great walks, and it's just a real interesting way to see Waiheke Island, some parts that you may not get much of a chance to see, really.
Hey? Absolutely. Lots of hidden treasures during the festival.
And take your mobile phone. I don't think you'll find many Pokemons out there in the big end, but you never know.
No, but you'll find
some other little treats. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Denise, for coming in, and all the best for the festival.
Thanks, Brent.
And we'll talk to you again. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Waiheke Radio.
Yes, so now we've got a couple of more guests in the station. I've got Raoul Sarot and Darlene Hoff-Nielsen, and they're going to be talking there from the... they have been working on the Essentially Waiheke document, refreshing the Essentially Waiheke document. I'm not sure if you guys call yourself something different than that or how you... Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. And so we're going to be talking about this document. And welcome, Raoul, and welcome, Darlene.
Thanks, Brent, and kia ora tātou.
Kia ora. So I guess that might be not be such a bad place to start. Is the document is a document that has existed for quite some time on Waiheke Island, and I think it was seen to need a bit of a refresh, a bit of an update to reflect the changing times and the changing nature and possibly demographics of Waiheke Island over those 13 years that since its first publication. And you have been contracted or solicited. I'm not quite sure how you how that phase of this of project went. Maybe you could speak to your own credentials or experience, or how you sort of ended up being the people to refresh this document.
Sure. Well, we started last year with this. The document was, as you mentioned, created 20 years ago, started in 1997, almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, with a three-year consultation to create the first document. So the document started in 1997, consulted with the community for 3 years, and was published and adopted by council in 2000. So these type of documents, which are community strategies, they have a mandate to be reviewed every 5 years.
Okay.
So the document was reviewed in 2005, but wasn't consulted with community. It was more like a technical review, an Auckland planner reviewed the document in their view, what has changed, what hasn't, and off you go. Mm-hmm. So the document was in much need of a refresh. There was no consultation or refresh in 2010, and now was the time last year to start with a much needed consultation. So it was up for tender, basically, the document. So we as a group, we back then were a group of five, and we were working on a kind of, you know, community initiative, which were about how might we help Waiheke integrating all the great ideas, all the great initiatives from the community to help protect and capture what was so unique about Waiheke, how we can help Waiheke moving it forward in the future, you know, protecting and enhancing what is so special about the island without losing that. So we were working on that for over a year, just in coffee conversations and so on. Yeah, so when this came up for tender, we were invited to apply, and so we did, and we went through a process of selection, and we got elected, yeah.
Okay, and so how many in your group at that point? You had five people, or they're from a diverse range of backgrounds, I suppose. Had you done anything like this before, or...?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. Each one of us work in similar but different fields, in a way. We have someone who's more specialized in sustainability. Yeah. We have more that is specialized in facilitation. We have, I mean, different people from different sectors with an interest.
Yep.
We have done this, not exactly this, but similar things, perhaps more commercially or for non-for-profits as well. Mm-hmm. So this was a slightly different project, but we thought it was our mandate from a community point of view to help, and we thought we were qualified to do so. So, we were very happy with the
outcome
idea.
Of it. Darlene?
I think part of the attraction, you know, when we read the brief for the tender was that we just thought, oh my hula, this is just too much work for one person. And the pānui was for a project manager. And we thought we'd just be cheeky and we'd bring 5 years of varied experience into the mix. Yeah. And I'm glad we did, because were we only one person who had been successful in this tender, we would not have been able to go as wide as we did in connecting in with the villagers around the Motu and connecting in with the various voluntary organisations around the island as well.
Yep.
So from a work management point of view, I'm really glad that we had that group approach.
So you got the contract to refresh the document last November, I think is the date, and what was your first sort of impetus to, you must have had these sort of strategic directive of what was your first, what was the most pressing thing for you to do to begin that process?
Firstly, was challenging the brief.
Yeah,
the contract was about.
So, when the brief is the brief developed from our local board, or does it come from Auckland?
Both.
It's a bit of both.
Good. I mean, even we it was hard for us to understand that as well at the beginning. No, to be honest, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, that didn't matter where it's coming from. It mattered that the commission was to, the assumption within the brief was that, you know, most of the document was correct and it just needed a few, you know, amends to, you know, get ready, go, that type of thing.
And was that, is that an accurate assumption, did you think?
Well, in a certain aspect, it is. Mm. It was. In certain others, it wasn't, because the more we read the documents, and we already had a bit of an idea of the document because of that non-for-profit project that we were working on, we were made aware of it. We realized that for us, Waihikians, perhaps it was okay. For Aucklanders, all of a sudden, missed a couple of fundamental components, which is explaining what the island was about.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of reference around the Waiheke lifestyle, around you know, where the island should go, but nowhere to be found was actually what is the Waiheke character, or what are we about. So for someone who doesn't live here, possibly, you know, only made half the sense. And, and perhaps part of what happened in the last 16 years was because of that.
Yeah, now that's interesting, because I've read probably half of the document, and I think my impression of it's sort of front loaded with a lot of descriptions of the Waiheke character and definitions about the sort of essential nature of the island. And I wonder, is there a Waiheke character, or do we actually lose some of the diversity that is constantly sort of emerging on the island? Do new people move in? I mean, do you really think there's a Waiheke character?
I think it's very much
is that problematic? I mean, that's my thing.
Know
do
that
we
it's a,
do
it's
we exclude people when we sort of come up? Can an island like this actually have a character divorced from all of its?
Listen. You know, when I just looking at the composition of our little group, you know, I'm Maori, I'm descended from the first European born in Aotearoa, so I feel very strongly those two sets of roots pulling. My friend Raul is Argentinian, you know, Julia was coming out of Brazil, Sandra from Germany, I've lived in Belgium for 20 years. Mm. We're all coming from very diverse backgrounds, and I meet people like that every day on the Motu from all over, with all kinds of flavors going on. Mm. I think the unifying thing, there's certainly a common thread as to why people are here.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we choose to come here?
Mm.
Why do we choose to have such a high level of voluntary activity in this community? We're obviously caring about something. So I think just, you know, if there's anything about character on the Motu, is that people do care, you know. And so that's one aspect to it. But I don't think it's our intention necessarily to find one word to fit all, because we are such a mosaic of talent, of flavor, of aspiration. We wanted as much as possible to capture that in this document. And we had input from at least 600 people. Now, 600 people compared to 8,000 who live here full-time, more or less. Some might say that's not so many.
Mm.
But hey, those 600 people, they have husbands, they have wives, they have mates, they have colleagues, they have tamariki, children. It's not like they're holding all that kind of kōrero or idea in their own head and in their own heart and not telling anybody else except us. So what we have in the document today reflects, to a certain extent, some of the people of the Motu. Clearly, there are some who, for various reasons, you know, maybe they're not here on the Motu.
Yeah.
You know, they're not living here. They're in the Northern Hemisphere, or they're wherever in the world. Maybe some of our visitors to the Motu would have loved to have commented on such a thing, because they're all coming here for maybe some similar reasons to why we decided to live here. Mm. So what we've got there at the moment, I think, reflects some of. The question now is, up until the 7th of September, we've got an opportunity to have our final say and consult and give our feedback in on this document, and which means, you know, challenge what's in there.
Yeah.
Does our explanation or our expression of the character in that document, does that resonate with you or not?
Yep.
What does? And share that.
Originally, how were people approached originally to get their input? The 600 people that have fed into the doc, to the refresh, how were they
approached?
Yeah, or not approached,
sure.
Or how? You know,
how did we connect them?
Yes, like, I mean, did they? I'm like, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you know, did they go fill out a form online, or did they? Did you actually have you know, kōrero with these people in person? And
We spammed out into the community as much as we possibly could. We had very limited budget and resources to do this, so we're using a lot of our own private network and capability. But what we did was, you know, the full title of that document is essentially Waiheke, a village
and
rural community strategy. All right, that was that's the original title of that document. We went to village and we acknowledged the history of this motu, ne? So we went to the villages. Now, Onetangi community group out there, Rocky Bay, pretty staunch group out there. Mm. Oneroa, we went down into Surfdale. Not many people go down to Surfdale Hall, we're observed, but hey, we went there too. We went back out to Onetangi. We also knew that not everybody was going to be active in their community, so when we went to those villages and we had workshops with the people, and we took them through some of the take and some of the questions, and they gave their feedback. We also went out to groups like the golf club. You know, they got a lot to say out there, and we needed to be able to hear that and give them that opportunity. So we went out to the golf club. We went out to Rotary as well to try and connect in with some of the businesses on the motu. Went into the Waiheke Island Tourism Forum as well, and made sure that we were on their radar. Another group that we went to, which wasn't at all addressed in neither the first consultation nor the review, was to iwi.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Ngāti Pāua, who have mana whenua, or one of the iwi groups who have mana whenua out here. So we actively sought their input and views on this. We went down to Piritahi Marae, whānau whānui there, to get as well their input. And it's not about, you know, many of us are of a certain age.
Yeah.
We're talking a strategic document which looks to the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go and talk to our young people, to our rangatahi up at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they were inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
They came with some terrific ideas about what they wanted. They were very clear, in fact. Similarly to our younger ones at Waiheke Primary, we had workshops with them at Te Hurihi also. So, yeah, we went wide, but people could also go online.
Yep.
Waihekespeaks.org.nz is still up and rolling. So, yeah.
So, out of those sort of initial consultations, and now you're in a phase where you're looking for feedback on the document, could you summarize what you saw as the greatest sort of shift from the previous document to now? I mean, was there something that was sort of glaring, apart from you had the manawa whenua, where you said it was glaringly obviously missed in the past document? Was there anything else that emerged that you thought was quite a surprise, or was just, or, you know, was quite different from the earlier documents that maybe reflect this changing nature of the island?
Yeah, a few things, really. Firstly, I would like to go back for a minute and something what you mentioned, what we think the character is. It doesn't really matter what we think. Mm. It's not about us. The document's about a royal us as a community. Back again to your question just before this little program started with us. What community mean, you know?
Yep.
That is one of the words that is a big constant and a big pattern in any of the consultations with it. What is special for people is the community. So it's interesting. That's what we are trying to unearth, explain, and somehow find the threads to articulate for us and for others, because that's the real challenge of this document, the audiences. Yeah. So it has a dual audience. It could be used for us as a tool, as a you know, as a manifesto, you know, as a mini constitution for community groups. Even when we consulted with, despite all those workshops, we also consulted with community groups what their needs are in any aspect, yep. right? And sometimes they were saying, we are looking for a sort of platform to help us, you know, articulate what Waiheke is about. We are looking for funding, you know, we need to find that document, that common korero, you know, what is it? So that is where the whole community comes. So one back to your question, what are the things that we are missing or that we found as surprises? What was missing, I think it was a bit lost in translation, wasn't quite missing. When we had some of the workshops, a whole lot of people that attended were part of the initial consultation. So that was really interesting, you know, all the Waihigians that somehow were already involved in that first one. And they were saying, we already said this back then. And I was like, right, but that is not written in the documents. So what happened? Well, what happened was that back then the whole exercise was run by Auckland Council and written by planners. You know, one thing is what people said, the other thing is what was written.
Right.
So there were a few missing links. So now what we are making sure is that there are no missing links, that actually we are saying what people, representing what people are saying. Obviously, we cannot say everything that people said because what we are looking for are what are the, you know, the threads and the patterns that are coming through strong, right? So I would say that people are very strong about the place and the community, the relationship between the both. That it was, you know, it wasn't a surprise. It's possibly back to what Darlene was saying, is why we are here.
Yeah.
So what was missing from the previous one is articulating that character and that idea of where we would like to go as a community. Yeah.
So in some sense, there's a considerable refreshing of this document. I didn't see a previous document, so that's interesting. I didn't realize that it had been sort of – I noticed somewhere you did say there was a lot of sort of technical planning speak in the previous document, which is
The previous document, being read today by planners, they said, oh, this is a planning document written by planners for planners.
Right, yeah.
And that's where we wanted to widen the spectrum and saying this should be also a community document. Fundamentally, it should be a community document that should actually help planners understand and inform, not the other way around.
So we've how long has it been out in its current form? It's been for a couple of weeks already, or a couple of months?
So started consultation, yes, at the beginning of August, and the consultation lasts for almost 4 weeks.
Right.
Again, we didn't need to consult for 4 weeks. That was a part of our push to say that the more time we have it open for consultation, the better for the document and for the future of the document and the island.
So there's a couple of weeks left for people to reflect on this document and feedback to you, to the group. Any thoughts on the document itself, and what's the best way for people to do that at the moment?
Well, there's a few ways. There's hard copies at the local board, at the library, and at the Citizens Bureau here in Onaroa. There's a form for them, so you can read the document and tick a few boxes, and you don't have to tick all of them. That's again, you know, you can only partly, you know, fill it in if you want to. And also, there's an online way that you can read the document online and feedback online under shapeauckland.org.nz, and there you will see the essentially Waiheke document.
And then after that, you will reflect again on what you've feedback, and then we'll have a final version of this document, presumably.
Yeah,
what
that date is correct.
Sort of.
Yeah, we've got we've put ourselves a little bit under the hammer, I must admit. We've given ourselves, we've got 3 days basically to look at all of that stuff. We might be able to squeeze a few more days in there, but we're to finalise that document and deliver it back to community, to local board, etc. But we really just needed to make sure that our community had as much opportunity to review this document for themselves in their own space and time, and to give their feedback in. So, yeah, we've put ourselves under the hammer, but, hey, it is what it is, and we'll go hard.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that all that online platform, it has a great tool that actually really distills that data in a very practical way, so we can have very clear. It's not about, you know, reading hundreds of handwritten documents. Yeah. It's all
don't
very
give away
clear.
All our secrets, Raoul.
I know, but I mean that's the reality. So it's great. You know, we already having first initial feedback week after week, and it's very positive. Yeah. So that's good news.
So after when the document is, you know, a fully live thing out there in the wild. We had a little bit of a conversation, Darlene, about sort of perspectives from, I'll say outsiders, but from people from Auckland. You know, they come in with these assumptions about Waiheke. So, would you imagine that? How do you get it out to that kind of an audience? I mean, you obviously go to Auckland Council, you've got planners that you would expect to read it, and you know, is that the kind of thrust of it after it's out there, that's the primary audience? I mean, it's okay for us to read it and we're like, yes, we pat ourselves on the back and we're happy with our definition of community, but really, unless it has, like you said before, it's not a binding document, how do you promote this thing out there and people who we really wanted to get in front of?
Well, I guess a couple of things. When we were right at the beginning of the project, considering the brief and challenging, one of the very early things we did was to hook up some meetings with Auckland Council planners.
Yeah.
Because we needed to understand for them, you know, there's possibilities here for all of us. There's possible win solutions for everybody. So What would they need to be able to see? Mm. What would help them in their, for example, the upcoming review of the Hauraki Golf District Plan? What would help them, you know, in all of those things to understand about Waiheke?
Right.
So they've not been involved in it, but they've given us, you know, some clues and helping us also to understand the relationship between this document, which is a community voice strategic framework, which has zero statutory bearing, up against, you know, everything else like the unitary plan, like Hauraki Golf District Plan, etc., all these statutory documents. So, and I'm aware that out in the community even today, there is still concern, and rightly so, about how does all of this mahi tie in with all that statutory stuff.
Mm.
One of the things that I'm observing during this whole process is the views of Auckland planners and Auckland Council in general, Auckland Transport even, and the other CCOs vis-a-vis Waiheke and Waihekeans. And very recently we had a workshop up at the library on Sunday where a wonderful lady came, and she's an independent planner. She served even on the hearings panel for the unitary plan. She expressed in her own self, she was very honest with us, she was a bit nervous about coming out to Waiheke.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the living perception is that we're a bunch of wild cats.
Yeah, that's
famous. You know, and we're going to jump up and down, and we're going to say all kinds of things and not make any, you know, not have one message for them all. So they get scared, they'll get confused, and then they just go back in their office and write what they will.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that's the cause of a lot of the issues that we're observing today with the unitary plan, but I think that this document, as it is, goes a long way to kind of set the record straight about, hey, this is us in our own voice, in our own flavours. And I don't know, the people that have been reading this, even those who don't live on Waiheke, are finding it kind of nice.
Yeah.
Kind of lovely, actually. So maybe all those Waihekeans aren't so bad after all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think being able to articulate who we actually be so that those outside of, you know, this lovely realm, go some way to understand, and it might not necessarily mean that the Auckland planners will come down here, but in places like the Environment Court, where those commissioners may not have been to Waiheke or what have you, at least, you know, this is something from the island to them.
Yeah.
And it might give them another perspective on what is important here on the island, what are our aspirations as a community for ourselves, but also for this beautiful motu.
Yeah, I mean, my initial reading of it was a very clear document. You know, it started It started very well in sort of trying to define that character before it got into the nitty-gritty kind of laid out thing. So I will continue to read it myself. And
thank you.
I think actually that you've done a great job.
Cheers.
A very difficult task, I would imagine, that could be loaded with contentious voices from all around the place.
But, you know, that's all cool.
Yeah.
That's all good,
sure.
You know, because everybody's opinion matters and everybody's voice matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were very clear in all of our sessions. We wanted to be challenged.
Yeah.
You know, we've got our own ideas, but this is not about us.
Yeah.
This is about our community.
Yeah.
It's about Waiheke. It's also not just about the land. It's about the marine environment around us as well. You know, it's bigger than us. So we had to be challenged by that.
Well, congratulations on what a big effort.
Thank you.
Big ups to you guys.
Well,
for stepping up to that plate, you know, I must have had a few reservations maybe.
But it's interesting because for us, the whole the ever-going challenge is that some, you know, sectors of the community, you know, challenge, in, and not necessarily in a good way sometimes.
Mm.
And they, some we are trying to assign or tint it with a political you know, enterprise somehow.
Yeah.
Which it is interesting, right? Because they're somehow they link to the local board current or to come or whatever it is. But this is a document that has been around for 16 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What are we talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you suggest that the document is politically tinted, you are basically not recognizing the input of the community 16 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That during 3 years they fed into a community.
Yeah.
So there's also a need to recognition to those that fed originally into a document for 3 years was a hard task then, right, for them to get it through. And it has been, the other thing back to your previous comment, how this is going to be used if it is non-binding or non-statutory. The document, although it's non-binding and non-statutory, has a lot of power, a lot of weight, and is the go-to document for Waiheke anywhere in the country, anywhere in the region, anywhere in Auckland. And that has history now.
Yeah.
So that's why it was important to refresh it. Some people were somehow reluctant to use it because it wasn't reviewed recently, it wasn't refreshed. So this is a great opportunity to again make it stronger and better. That was the whole idea. How might we recapture what was great from the previous one and make it better, incorporate the views from the current community as well as from the previous community and future-proof it as much as possible in this challenging world.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I think I'd ever heard of the document really was during the hearings around the development, the marina development, and what is this? We better find out. And I think that's probably a great testament to how it could be used, you know, when it is a necessary thing to have.
But I think the whole success of the document really is we as a working group would like to put the challenge back to the community, so us as a community, that is the only success of the document. If we keep it alive, if we keep it relevant, if we defend it and use it, then the document will be helpful. If we'll put it in a, you know, in a corner, in a dusty corner, and as you and possibly us before getting involved into it didn't even know it existed, then the document is not fulfilling its purpose. So
good. Well, I might just remind people one more time about where to go. Like, you can go to the library, pick up a hard copy of the document, and there's a form in the library that you can look at to give some feedback, as well as the online. Perhaps, Raoul, you could remind us again what
Just Shape Auckland. If you just Google Shape Auckland or shapeauckland.org.nz, there's a very comprehensive forum there for you to fit in all your comments. And also there's one at the local board and one of the citizens' bureau, so in Onaroa.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming in. Darlene, thank you. Raoul, thank
pleasure.
You. And perhaps even we'll let this roll a little bit and get your feedback after it's your final collection of feedback, and we can have another chat about what you see the next 5 years of this thing going on.
With joy.
Thanks
with joy.
Thanks for coming in. Kia ora.
Pleasure.
Kia ora. Kia ora. Kia
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Almost forgot I wanted to play this track. This is a track I thought I usually play quite a little bit of local stuff. So I thought, yep, here's a new local track that I'm going to play for you. This is by Leatherhead, who are Bede Taylor on vocals, Brendan Moon on guitar from the old coffee cart, Mike Brennan and Carsten Blutner on drums, Mike on bass, of course. And they've got a new track out, which you can find on their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/leatherheadconsortium. You can also find it on SoundCloud as well. If you just go to SoundCloud and search for Leatherhead, you should find this. This is their new track called Cest La Congo, a bit of a hard rocking number by some locals. Here's Leatherhead for you.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7pm and Thursdays at 12:30pm. Island Life is brought to you by the Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.